That's what Campbell's soups are. Mmm, good.
From Hollywood, the Campbell Soup Show, starring Jack Carson. Jess just back from vacation. Here are Jack Carson, Freddie Martin and his orchestra, Arthur Treacher, Jack's nephew Tugwell, played by Dave Willock, little 8-year-old Norma Jean Nilsson, Irene Ryan, and yours truly, Del Sharbert. Good, it's back again. Yes, folks, the new season's pack of Campbell's Tomato Soup is at your grocer's now. Made from extra luscious tomatoes, sun-ripened for vitamin content and tempting flavor. You'll catch that deep-down flavor in every tempting spoonful. Mmm, good. You'll enjoy the health benefits of these fine tomatoes, too. And you'll be glad to know that here's one family favorite you can count on again to help you with your meal plans. Remember, your grocer now has the new pack, Campbell's Tomato Soup. Have it soon and often. The time to stock up is now. Well, now it's time to look in the little house at 22 North Hollywood Lane, where lying on the front porch in a hammock, we find a completely relaxed Jack Carson.
Mr. Carson, sir, are you going to lie here on the front porch hammock all day today like you did yesterday?
Yeah, I think I might, Preacher. I've no other plans. Move that pillow a little more under my feet, will you? Thank you. You know, Preacher, lying in that Wisconsin sun last summer during my vacation, I arrived at a new philosophy. I spent a lot of time lying in that sun, and I came to the conclusion that life can be very simple if you'll just relax.
That may be true, sir, but I'm a bit worried. You've been back 3 whole days, and you haven't even made a reconnaissance trip to Hollywood and Vine.
Well, with all this smog we've been having, the visibility is pretty bad. Besides, women in the general run of things are not really very important.
Could I have that again, sir?
I said women are not important.
Mr. Carson, might it be possible that you stayed out too long in that Wisconsin sun?
Not at all, Treacher. I'm sure everybody would be better off if they could all see how my theory of relaxation works.
Yes.
It rocked the hammock a little bit, and I'll tell you all about it.
Yes.
You see, it all came to me one day.
Here you are, Uncle Jack. Here's that other glass of lemonade you wanted me to fix.
Oh, thanks, Tugwell. Yes, Treacher, it all came to me one afternoon up there in Wisconsin. I was lying under some pine trees outside our camp, just lying there resting. Well, sir, as I lay there looking up through those trees, the whole thing suddenly came to me, just as though it had floated down out of the sky.
Oh, what was it? A picture of Lena the hyena?
Well, I'm talking about things on a slightly higher plane. You see, Treacher, I used to worry and fret and fuss.
Yes.
I could have spent all summer worrying about home, but I didn't. When I came back, it proved that I was right. Everything was just exactly the way I had left it.
Yeah, except for the grass in the front yard. You know, you forgot to make arrangements to have it cut, and now it's 7 feet tall.
All right, so the grass is 7 feet tall, but that's a minor detail.
Well, the neighbors don't think so. 3 of their children are lost in it.
Stop exaggerating, Tugwell. Those children were just playing in there. And I went in and got them out last night.
Well, we haven't received any mail for several days, sir. The next time you're in there, see if you can find the postman.
Will you two please stop worrying about the front lawn? In a day or two, we'll have it mowed.
I think someone's coming across the front lawn now, sir. I can see the top of the grass moving.
Gee, I hope it's not a wild animal.
Oh, don't be silly. It couldn't be anything like
Hello,
that.
Hello, everybody.
Well, it's little Norma Jean. How are you, honey?
I'm fine. But I sure had a hard time getting through all that tall grass. And it's dark in there, too.
Oh, there's nothing to be afraid of, honey.
Well, maybe not. But when I was halfway through, I think something bit me.
Oh, yeah. The postman's probably getting hungry.
Come on up here on the porch, Norma Jean. Would you like a little lemonade?
Oh, no, thank you. I really came over because you didn't finish telling me the story about your fishing trip in Wisconsin.
Oh, no, I didn't finish that, did I? Now, where was I?
You were out in the middle of the Milwaukee River in a canoe.
Yes.
And you've been trying for 3 hours to land a barracuda.
yes, that's true.
Is that the same kind of barracuda they catch in Griffith Park?
Yeah, never mind. Anyway, Norma Jean, there I was with that ferocious fish on the end of my line.
Mr. Carson?
Yes?
My mother says that kind of fish is an ocean fish. How does it happen that a barracuda was in the Milwaukee River?
Well, they're a little nearsighted, and sometimes they make a wrong turn at the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh. Well, what finally happened after you fought with it for 3 hours?
Well, what could happen? My muscles of sinewy steel were more than a match for this denizen of the deep. And at last, exhausted but triumphant, I landed this ferocious monster.
Ferocious monster. I saw a picture of the fish you caught, and it was only 6 inches long.
All right, but in 3 hours of fighting, a barracuda can lose a lot of weight.
Uncle Jack, pardon me. That fish you caught was nothing but a tadpole. And
something
a
in your throat, boy?
Yeah, tadpole.
Anyway, Tuggle, that'll do. I'm not going to argue with you right now. It spoils my relaxing.
Mr. Carson, I don't think you ought to be lying around like this if you expect to be elected to a public office.
Public office? I don't want to be elected to anything.
Well, you're going to be. Huh? Miss Ryan said so.
Who?
Well, you know Miss Ryan runs the bookstore in the corner?
Yes.
Well, she put your name up for the next election.
She did what? Honey, are you kidding?
No, it really happened. You see, she said the community needed somebody as a leader, and she's on the committee.
Yes?
Well, Miss Ryan said they were looking for a man who was honest and reliable and very intelligent.
Oh.
So I suggested you.
Well, the child is so young.
Preacher, please. I'm very flattered that you said all of that, honey. Do you really think I am all of those things?
Oh, I should say so. I think you're the smartest man in the whole world.
She is young, isn't she?
Preacher. You know that Miss Ryan gets some of the silliest ideas. Now, why should she take it on herself to put up my name up for public office? I can't get mixed up in a thing like this. I'm going over to Miss Ryan's now and talk to her.
I'll go with you, Uncle Jack.
Okay. So long, honey. I'll see you later. You know, Tug, well, Miss Ryan is a sweet woman, and I hate to hurt her feelings, but in some things, a man has got to be firm. Come on, we'll go in. I don't see her any place. Oh, yes, there she is, putting away some books on the shelf. Hello there, Miss Ryan.
What? Oh, hello there, Mr. Carson. And Tugwell, too.
Yes, we just thought we'd drop in. How are you feeling?
Oh, I guess I'm about as well as can be expected.
Yes, I... Well, what I came over to talk to you about was...
I don't know. It just seems like I'm tired all the time.
That's too bad. But what I came to talk to you about...
I just never seem to have any energy. Of course, one reason I'm so tired is because most of the books are upstairs. And it seems everybody who comes in wants a book that's up there. And I just go up and down those stairs down and up and up and down and down and up all day.
Well, I'm very sorry to hear that, Miss Ryan. Really very sorry indeed.
Down and up, up and down, down and up.
Hey, can't you stop her, Uncle Jack?
I'll try to head her off at the mezzanine. Look, Miss Ryan, I know you work very hard, and it is unfortunate that you have to do so much walking between floors.
Well, there's no other way. I have to go up there, and once I'm up there, I have to get back down again.
Well, why don't you put in a brass pole like the firemen use?
I thought of that, but I blister so easily.
Miss Ryan. Miss Ryan, I came over here to talk to you about this business of my being a candidate for public office.
Oh, yes. It's all going to be so wonderful.
Now, see here. I want it clearly understood that I am not interested in...
Mr. Carson, this community is all run down, and the people need somebody for a leader.
Well, that may be true, Miss Ryan, but I don't...
And I knew that you were the one for the job when I saw your picture, Two Guys from Milwaukee.
Well, I don't see what that... Did you like the picture?
Oh, yes. You were the cab driver.
Yeah.
And when you made that speech about democracy, you were wonderful. You made me feel so good.
I did?
Yes. I just cried and cried.
Gosh, you really must have been carried away.
Oh, I was. In fact, I left the theater and walked a couple of blocks, and then I turned around and went back to the theater again.
To see the picture again, huh?
No. I left my shoes under the seat. But I couldn't get them back on anyway. When I cry, my feet always swell up.
Slime, don't get me wrong. I'm very flattered that you considered me a fit person for public office, but I'm afraid I'll have to turn it down.
But, Mr. Carson, this is not a matter of personal feeling. It's a matter of public service.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, a lot of people saw that picture and heard you make that speech on democracy. And what you said is just how they feel.
Well, I feel that way about America, too.
Well, that's all we need, isn't it? A man who is sincere?
Maybe you're right, Miss Ryan. I have a lot of qualifications for a public servant, and who knows, I might make a better politician than I am an actor.
Oh, easily. Will you go through it, Mr. Carson?
Well,
I'll tell you what. I know Mr. Gibbs, the head of the election committee, and I'll send him over to your house for a nice discussion.
Well, all right, Miss Ryan. We can talk about it at least. See you later. Just look at that broken streetlight over there, Tugwell. It's been in that condition for a year at least.
Oh, what about it?
What about it? That's the condition of everything in this community. The more I think about it, the more I'm convinced that a good man in office could do a lot.
Hey, here comes Mr. Charbot.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Del.
Hello there, Jack. Hi, Tugwell.
Hey, Del, I'd like to test out your reaction to something. I'm thinking of running for public office.
Yeah, Uncle Jack's liable to become famous. You know, like Thomas Jefferson or Senator Claghorn.
Yeah. Just think, Del. And people might even put a silver plaque on the side of the house where I was born saying, Jack Carson slept here.
You mean like that plaque in Kansas City at the Tower Theater that says, Jack Carson died here.
I think I'll ignore that remark, Doug.
Well, Jack, in case you do run for office, I've got a great idea for your campaign platform.
You have, Del? What is it?
Well, you'd like to be a benefactor of the people, wouldn't you?
Sure, sure.
Well, you know how hard it is nowadays to buy anything new.
Yes, yes.
Well, my idea will enable just about everybody to buy something new tomorrow.
Oh, what is it, Del? A new car?
Oh, better than that.
Maybe a new washing machine?
Oh, better than that.
Del, you couldn't possibly mean...
Yes, yes, I do. It's the season's new pack of Campbell's tomato soup at your grocer's now. Chances are, because of recent shortages, you haven't been able to have Campbell's tomato soup lately. But now you can.
Oh, my gosh, this is sensational. What a platform. Well, I'll get the vote of every housewife in this country.
Right, Jack. And as the housewife goes, so goes the nation. Already crowds of people are flocking to their grocers to see those red and white label cans of the new pack Campbell's tomato soup, made from sun-ripened tomatoes chock full of luscious flavor. Good.
Hey, make them stop, Uncle Jack. I haven't had any lunch yet.
Getting a little hungry myself. Del, I know how to go your plan one better, and it will help my election campaign, too. Why, with hundreds of thousands of shoppers buying that new pack Campbell's tomato soup, wouldn't it be swell if my picture was on every can?
Oh, Uncle Jack, this is tomato soup. With your picture on it, people might think it's mock turtle.
Well, sometimes your efforts at humor are very unfair.
Well, Jack, if you do decide to run for office, let me know if I can help you in any way.
Well, thanks, Del, a lot.
And say if you meet anybody on the way home, be sure and tell them that their grocer now has the new pack and it's time to stock up on Campbell's tomato soup.
Okay, I'll do that. So long, Del.
We welcome back the inimitable Freddie Martin and the Martin Men in 5 minutes more.
Give me 5 minutes more. about our Saturday date. Don't you know that Sunday morning you can sleep late? Give me 5 minutes more, only 5 minutes more. Let me stay in your
Carson, you're not really serious about running for public office, are you?
Well, I haven't quite made up my mind yet.
I counsel against it, sir. You know, politics are in such a state right now that people are all confused.
Well, that's just it. If I ran, I couldn't possibly confuse the people any more than they are now.
Oh, I don't know, sir. I have great faith in your ability.
Richie, don't belittle me. You know, everything is too complicated these days. What the people want is a return to simple fundamentals, a simple way of living.
Yeah, that sounds fine, sir. But what would you do about the food and the housing shortage, for instance?
The food and the housing shortage? Listen, when I get through, there will be no food or housing shortage. In fact, I might make that a campaign slogan. A chicken in every pot and
two families in every garage.
Yes. Oh, no.
I don't see why we're all becoming so perturbed about this, sir. After all, if this Mr. Gibbs that Miss Ryan is bringing over doesn't approve of you, you won't be on the ballot anyway.
Chichi, you can't possibly be intimating that he won't approve of me. You've known me a long time. I'll leave it to you. Am I not sincere and honest?
Yes, sir.
And if I were elected, am I the kind of a man who would try to corrupt people by offering them money?
Oh, no, sir. You've never tried it with me, and I corrupt very easily.
We'll discuss that another time. As far as Mr. Gibbs is concerned and my chances of being on the ballot, you're both in for quite a surprise. Just wait till he gets it. Why, I bet he'll be begging me to run.
Yeah.
I think I'll play hard to get for a while. Then after he's pleaded with me for a while, I'll graciously give in.
This I gotta see.
Well, sometimes I feel that you underestimate your uncle. There's a time in the affairs of men that take in...
I'll go, sir.
Carson live here?
Yes, sir.
Gibbs is the name. Gibbs, the chairman of the First District Political Board.
Oh! Come in, Mr. Gibbs. I've been expecting you. Miss Ryan told me that you were going to drop by and sort of talk me into allowing my name to head up the ballot.
Well, I don't know what Miss Ryan told you. She gets things a little balled up. That's off the record, of course. But as the district chairman, I am personally opposed to any inexperienced novice or rank amateur being put up as a party candidate.
But Mr. Gibbs...
Stay in there, Uncle Jack. You've got him pleading.
Mr. Gibbs, did I understand you to say that I am an inexperienced amateur?
That is what I said, and you can quote me.
But Miss Ryan said...
Miss Ryan is a dreamer, whereas I am a very practical man. And do you think for one moment that I am going to put the future of the party in the hands of a person with no political background?
But I thought...
Have you ever been elected to any office of importance?
Importance? Well, I...
Uncle Jack was assistant troop master of the Gopher Scouts.
Well, I don't think...
And he got a merit badge for trapping 2 field mice.
Yes, I don't think...
Carson, don't think that there's anything personal in my deciding against you, but we need a politician. Now, you may have other qualifications. They tell me you're a fair actor. Don't quote me on that. That's off the record, of course. But as for your political...
Wait a minute, Mr. Gibbs. In the first place, I didn't want to run for your old office. It was somebody else's idea. And in the second place, I don't like your tone of voice or your whole attitude. Who do you think you're talking to, anyway? The village idiot?
Is that off or on the record?
You keep...
Now, you listen here,
Carson. You listen to me. I'm not finished yet. You object to me because I'm not a politician. All right, I'm not a politician. But I know plenty of people high up in public affairs. And for your information, I carry a lot of influence in this community.
Well, that is a question which
I'll get it,
am
sir.
Not...
I'll get it. Hello? Oh, it's for you, Mr. Carson. I think it's Mr. Truman.
Mr. Truman.
Truman?
Yes, of course, Mr. Truman.
Why, good gosh, Truman, Harry.
Hello.
Missouri.
Oh, hello, Harry. What's that? Chopsticks? That's in the key of C. You're welcome. Goodbye.
Good heavens, Carson. I had no idea your influence extended so high.
That chopsticks is a swell tune, but I wish Harry wouldn't tackle those tough numbers.
Carson, in view of these new developments, that is to say your connections with important people, I'd like to either reconsider my decision.
Oh, no, you don't. It's a little too late for that, Mr. Gibbs.
Now, hold on. I think I may be able to find a place for you, Carson.
Oh, no, you don't. I wouldn't run on your ballot if you begged me.
But Carson...
I accept the nomination. What sort of an office is it?
Well, now, it couldn't be called the most important post on the ticket, but we must remember that humble beginnings lead to glorious things. That big oaks from little acorns grow.
What's the job?
First assistant municipal dog meat inspector.
What? Do I look like the kind of a man who inspects dog meat?
Well, frankly, no, but I think we might convince the people.
Listen to me, Mr. Gibbs. If you think for 1 minute that I, Jack Carson, would... come in.
Hello, Mr. Carson. Oh, hello, Mr. Gibbs.
Hello, Miss Ryan.
Hello. Oh, I do hope you and Mr. Gibbs had a lovely meeting.
Lovely meeting? Do you know what he had the nerve to offer me? That job is dog meat inspector.
Oh, dear. I don't understand this at all. Wait till the committee hears about this.
Yeah? Wait till the dogs hear about it.
Carson, I'll give you 24 hours to make your decision. I've got to be going now. I'm a very busy man. Good night.
Now, wait a minute.
Good night, Mr. Carson.
What a fresh guy. For 2 cents, I'd have punched him right in his first district.
What are you going to do, Mr. Carson?
Well, it looks like I'm beaten, honey. I can't buck that political machine.
Oh, dear. This puts me in quite a spot. You see, I've already been campaigning for you.
You have?
Yes. I told the girls at my club that you would be a candidate, and they were very enthusiastic. They were behind you 99%.
99%? You mean there was someone there that didn't want me?
Yes.
Oh.
Gladys Mulkey voted against you. But she's such a silly girl. She's right at that giddy age. 47.
Oh, well, gee, I'd hate to let them down, Mr.
Ryan. Carson, why should you? After all, there's no reason why you can't run on an independent ticket.
Independent?
Yes, sir. Only a few minutes ago, you were saying that people need a return to the less complicated way of living. Did you really mean that? Or were you, as they say, just shooting off your mouth?
Well, I meant it, preacher. I wasn't shooting anything. The public is tired of red tape and regulations. They want a man who stands for the things that are basic and simple.
That's right. And where are they going to find anybody who's more simple than you are? Oh, dear. I didn't mean that quite the way it sounds.
Miss Ryan, I'm going through with this thing. The Carsons were never quitters. I'll announce my candidacy tomorrow, and my platform will be one word. Simplicity.
Hooray.
Thank you, honey. Thank you. Now what I need is a campaign song, something catchy.
How about The Best Things in Life Are Free?
No.
How about the one you were playing on the piano this morning?
Say, Norma Jean, that's the one. That song is perfect.
How does it go?
Listen to this.
I don't believe in fretting and grieving. Why mess around with strife? I never was cut out to step and strut out. Give me the simple life. Some find it pleasant dining on pheasant. Those things roll off my knife. Just serve me tomatoes and mashed potatoes. Give me the simple life. A cottage small is all I'm after, not one that's spacious and wide. A house that rings with joy and laughter, and the ones you love inside. Some like the high road, I like the low road, free from the care and strife. Sounds corny and seedy, but yes, indeedy, give me the simple life.
Living, I find, is best when your mind is keen as a carving knife. I'm crazy about sleep, can't do without sleep.
Give us the simple life. Now I love to whittle and play a little tune on a 10-cent pipe. I don't aim to worry, hustle or hurry.
Give us the simple life. I greet the dawn when I awaken. The sky is clear up above.
I like my scrambled eggs and bacon, served by someone that I love.
Some like the high road,
I like the low road,
free from the care and strife.
Sounds corny and seedy, but yes, indeedy,
give us the simple life.
Jack Carson will be back in just a moment. Right now, there's good news waiting at your grocery store. Yes, sir, the new pack Campbell's Tomato Soup is in. So if you haven't been able to find this favorite soup lately, why, just look for it tomorrow and stock up on the soup your family like best. I'm betting they do. For Campbell's Tomato Soup, you know, is the soup most folks like best. That goes for me, too. Well, I can get hungry anytime just thinking about those plump, sun-ripened tomatoes, almost bursting their smooth jackets with luscious flavor, blended into a satin-smooth puree with fine table butter and a touch of seasoning. Good. You bet it's extra fine tomatoes and Campbell's exclusive recipe that make Campbell's tomato soup taste so downright delicious. How about bright platefuls at supper tomorrow? Serve it perhaps with milk added as an extra delicious cream of tomato. Remember, your grocer now has the new pack, and it's time to stock up on Campbell's Tomato Soup.
Good. That's what Campbell's soups are. Good.
Well, that about ties it up for tonight, folks, except for a rather important announcement I have to make. It's about a gal from Milwaukee this time instead of a guy. She's joining our Campbell's Soup family over these very same stations next Sunday night. You all know her name. It's Hildegard. The incomparable Hildegard, they call her. And from Milwaukee to Paris to New York. We Milwaukee folks sure get around. Anyway, you'll love her, I know. Good luck, Hildy. We'll be listening for you.
Listen in on Sunday for the Campbell Room starring Hildegard. Her guest this week will be Tallulah Bankhead, Bert Lahr, and the pride of the Brooklyn Dodgers, Dixie Walker. And don't forget, we'd like to have you stop in again next Wednesday at 22 North Hollywood Lane to find out if Jack's really serious about running for office. Who knows? Something might really happen from all this.
Good. That's what Campbell soups are. Good.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.